Hey, good morning. Happy Father's Day. We're going to do something at the end for Father's Day, so we'll get back to that. Let's open our Bibles, James chapter 4. James chapter 4. But before we get to that, and I was just thinking, that's always dangerous. One of these days I'm going to do a little segment on the Blue Letter Bible and show you exactly how it works, because it's really powerful and it's really helpful. There are other ones too. I know maybe you have a different version, a different one that you use or whatever, but one of the things that it has like pretty much every version of the Bible. So if you want to look at a verse or a chapter in a different version, it's all right there at your fingertips. It's all right there. And they have versions in all the other languages, and it's just, it's incredible. They have commentaries. They have all kinds of different helps in there. But anyways, I say that because in my reading, I do different things on different days, and I'm in the Psalms on one of my days. And so I came up to Psalm 23, right, and I said, you know, I know Psalm 23, like in the King James, the New King James, I know it so well. How about if I read it in a different version, right? And so I read it in the New Living Translation. I'll put it up on the screen for you, because I thought it was just so cool. And you'll see why here in a second. A Psalm of David: the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest where? And green meadows. Isn't that sweet? Right here, green meadow. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Isn't that sweet? That is so sweet. So let's get back to James now. Last week we talked about our relationship with God, and really the idea is to get serious. Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. And get serious about our relationship with him. And get serious about sin as well, that you know, we have to, you know, do what it takes to fight against it, because we're sinners, he said. James said, we're all sinners. But God wants to have this relationship with us, and how do we do it? A few things that I mentioned. Number one is time. We've got to take some time to get to have this relationship, to draw near to him. We need his word. We need to be listening to it. We need to come humbly, and we need to come by Jesus, because he's the only way. Isaiah said, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. So I encourage you he wants to have a relationship with you, and sometimes we need to deal with certain things that are hindering that relationship with him. But the point is, he wants a close personal relationship with you and with me. Today, we kind of change gears. James, you know, he kind of gets back to a subject that he's already talked about twice before, maybe even more referred to. But really what it is what comes out of our mouths, right? Actually, I think it's a good section in chapter 3, and then in chapter 1, he talks about being, you know, slow to speak, right? Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And then in chapter 3, he says, you know, teachers, be careful what you say. And then he goes to a whole section about, you know, the tongue is this unruly evil that you know, is so small, but yet it creates, you know, so much havoc. And so now he gets back to it again. By the way, did you hear about I got you, didn't I? Let's look at chapter 11, 4, verses 11 and 12. He says, "Brothers, do not slander one another. And anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. And when you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor?" This thing he's talking about here, he's talking about how we talk about one another. I think it would also include how we talk to each other. But notice he starts off by saying brothers, in other words, family. This is in the church he's talking about now. How we talk about each other even here in the church. Chapter 12, he talks about our neighbor, of course. But in this version, it says, do not slander. Now, to slander somebody means to say untrue things about them and that will damage their reputation, right? But this particular word is much broader than that. And let me put it on the screen for you. It's a word kata laleo, and laleo means to speak, and kata really it means to speak against. But when I looked at it, and I said, you know, it's kind of cutting speech, where we're cutting, we're doing damage. But the definition is to speak against. It includes slander. And then they have this word traduce, which I had to look that one up, right? Like, what does that mean? It says to speak badly or tell lies about someone. And then this definition, to badmouth someone. If you don't want people talking trash about you, then don't traduce them either, even if they started it. Even if they started it. Well, we started it. Now, I know that this doesn't affect anybody in this room. You all are so in control of how you speak and what you say. You were probably talking about me on the way here, okay? Or, this is for sure, do you drive? Do you ever have a problem with someone who cuts you off or does something that they should not probably do or you think they shouldn't have done? It's hard. You know, I've got my grandkid in the car and, you know, somebody does this and I say this and I go, oh, you know. Now, they can't hear me over there. But if you deal with people on any level, unless you go and you put yourself in some desert place and never deal with any people, you maybe not have that problem. Other versions say it like this: do not speak evil of one another. Don't speak evil of one another. And it includes like criticizing and judging or harsh words or unkind words, continual fault finding. Again, I know that none of us in this room ever do any of those things. Barclay said this: the sin of those who meet in corners and gather in little groups and pass on confidential information which destroys the good name of those who are not there to defend themselves. They translate this word in a different place as Romans 1 as backbiters. 2 Corinthians 12, backbiting. So Peter says this. He says, laying aside all malice and all deceit and all hypocrisy and envy and all evil speaking. Lay aside this thing, this kata laleo that he's talking about. So you and I, we need to think about this. Again, if you say, you know, I don't do any of those things, really? Sometimes even if they don't come out of your mouth, you're probably thinking them, right? James says, anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law. Jesus talked a lot about this stuff. Paul talked a lot about this stuff. So we're going to turn to Matthew and to Romans, Jesus and Paul, and we're going to kind of go back and forth between those two. So let's turn first to Matthew chapter 7, and then you can also turn to Romans chapter 2. We'll see this idea that James is talking about is a common theme. Now, some of you are saying, well, you know, don't we need to make judgments sometimes? We'll talk about that at the end, but that's probably the exception rather than the rule. So Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1, you see, because what Jesus is saying is it kind of comes back to us. He says, do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye? Pay no attention to the plank in your own eye. How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye, you hypocrite? First, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck in your brother's eye. So he's not saying we never have to judge, but we need to judge ourselves first. We're talking about other people and what they've done and who they are and what they're like. Well, what have I done? What am I like? What kind of stuff have I... How have I hurt people? How have I cut people off on the road? Oh, yeah, none of us ever do that, right? We're perfect drivers, perfect in every way. Keep your hand in Matthew and turn back to Romans chapter 2, like I said. Romans chapter 2 in verse 1. Paul says, you therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else, for at whatever point you judge the other, you are condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same things. You do the same things. Jesus is saying it. Paul's saying it. James is saying it. What about me? Let's think about ourselves before we go talking bad about people, judging them for who they are and what they've done. Let's back up a step and think about myself first. What have I done? How about Romans chapter 14? Paul brings it up again. Romans chapter 14, verse 10. He says, you then, why do you judge your brother? Or why do you look down on your brother? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. So it's this idea, you know, again, we'll talk about that at the end. It's not that we ever, don't ever make any judgments, don't ever have any discernment, but we need to be careful because we are all guilty and we're all going to stand before God's judgment seat. So he said that when we do this, we're speaking against the law and we're judging the law. We're actually putting ourselves over the law. He's talking about the law, scriptural law, right? Now, what law is he talking about? Because there are a lot of laws, right? But he says the law. And in the New Testament context, right, we're talking about the royal law. You know what the royal law is? What? What's the royal law? To love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. I like to say it, love your neighbor as you already love yourself. If we thought about, before we go judging people, think about them the way we think about ourselves, we'd be more measured about how we speak, about what we say, how we judge them. Jesus, when he was asked what was the greatest commandment, what did he say? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And this is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbors as yourself. He said, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. James says, we're speaking, we're putting ourselves above that when we're, you know, bad-mouthing other people, and especially people within the church. People within this family. This is a small family, a small church, but you know what? It happens. We're all guilty of it, myself included. Romans 13, verse 8, you're already in Romans, hopefully. He says, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. He has fulfilled the law. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. Paul says it again in Galatians chapter 5. The entire law, he says, is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. So, you know, you say, you know, the Bible is this huge book, and it is. And it's deep, and there's like 66 books, right? And there's like so much there. I mean, how could I ever keep all that? How could I ever do it? Well, Jesus boiled it all down. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Can you remember that? Can I remember that? Yeah. So before we start saying this and that and the other thing, because, you know, we need to ask ourselves, what is love? Paul talked about speaking the truth in love. Again, it's not that we never speak the truth. Even what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount there, he said, you know, take the plank out of your own eye first, and then you'll be able to maybe help. He didn't say maybe, but. Back to James, he says, there's only one lawgiver and judge, the one who's able to save and to destroy. Isaiah said it too. He says, the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. It is he who will save us. We need to keep that in perspective and just kind of put ourselves in the right place. Because when we start making all these judgments and stuff, we're putting ourselves not only over that person, we're also putting ourselves over God. He's the judge. He goes on to say, James says this, but you, who are you to judge your neighbor? I like what J. Vernon McGee said. You all know J. Vernon McGee is. He's on the radio. He's passed away now, but this is how he summed it up. Who do you think you are? That's why I titled this message, Who Do You Think You Are? Because I think we need to ask ourselves that. Who do I think I am? Who do you think you are? There was a commentator, a preacher, back in the 1600s. His name was Matthew Poole. And this is how he summed it up. You got to love this. A sorry creature. Who do you think you are? A sorry creature, a man, a worm. That you should lift yourself into God's place and make thyself a judge of one not subject to you. They talked a little bit differently then, but did, you know, is it any different today, really? David Guzik said, you know, judging others and going on and on about this stuff. Number two, two things he says. Number one, it breaks the royal law, and number two, it takes the right of judgment that only God has. Only God has. I think I quoted this verse already. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. That speaks to the fact that we have to do something about it. We control what we say. We need to be careful. A few more quotes for you. A guy named Trapp, and he was from the 1600s as well. the talebearer has the devil in his tongue and the tale hearer in his ear. Do you get that? The talebearer has the devil in his tongue. When we go there, we're just like, you know, pawns, the enemy just using us to create all kinds of problems and trouble. He goes on talking about judging. He said, is this not to be a pope in thine own cause, exalting thyself above God? Oh. How about a more contemporary Bible teacher, Larry Richards? He says, as James has called us to live humble lives, this is the context, a person who is quick to judge another is not humble and has clambered up on the judge's bench, grabbed God's gavel, and pushed him aside. Again, I know that this doesn't affect any of us here, but just bear with me, okay? Warren Wiersbe, you know, he's contemporary as well. He has passed on, but he said, the wrong use of the tongue, we're called to speak the truth in love, but not to speak evil in a spirit of rivalry and criticism. Talk to the other personally. That's something I think we should do. We have things to say. We say it to everybody else, but we don't talk to the person that we have a problem with or that we need to talk to. He says, we need discernment, yes, but we must not act like God in passing judgment. First, examine our own lives. We never know all the facts or the motives. God is the only judge. God is the only judge. Matthew Henry, last one I'm going to mention here. He was the late 1600s, but he was a pastor and he was a Bible teacher, but he said, you know, we're cautioned against this sin of evil speaking. He says that it speaks about speaking anything that may hurt or injure another. We must not speak evil things of others, though they be true, unless we be called to it and there be some necessary occasion. Right? I told you I would talk about this at the end. So are there times when we need to speak up and say certain things? Yes, there are. Is there a gift of discernment where people, you know, have to decide and judge? Yes, there is. In our own legal system, we have judges, right? And there are times when, you know, a judge needs to make a decision and needs to call upon the law, right? You don't just do it out of their own ideas, although, you know, we have judges in our society today. They just go on their own ideas. They're not going to the law that they're called to uphold. There is a time to judge. But again, as I said, that's probably the exception rather than the rule. So if you go to Got Questions, you can find an article about this. But some of the things that they mention here is number one, it's not superficial judgment. Not just something you thought and you flew off the handle and, you know, this is the judgment you're making. Number two, not hypocritical, and we've already been seeing that in these passages about the fact that we're judging these other people about what they've done, what they said, who they are, whatever, and we're not thinking about who we are, and we're doing the same things. That's hypocrisy. Number three, not harsh and unforgiving. That's probably the hardest one. We might have, you know, every right to say what we say. We might, it's all completely true, but if we are harsh and if we are unforgiving, we're not willing to forgive at all, then you know, we're putting ourselves above God, because God will forgive. Right? Not self-righteous. It kind of goes in with that, but But the final one is based on truth, based on God's word. Happy Father's Day. Oh my goodness. You know, we got to be careful. This thing in our mouth, you know, we got to be careful. We got to be careful how we talk. Does it need to be said? Or do you just, maybe you should just keep it to yourself, your thoughts and your ideas and what you think. Or maybe we need to pray about it. I think this is something I've learned through the years I spoke too quickly and I didn't take any time to think and to pray about that situation. And when I did, and if I did, I find things come out very differently than if I just jump right in there. Does that make sense? Take a little bit of time. Look at our own hearts first. Be careful how we speak. Because we're going to be held accountable for those words. We've looked at that before in James. We're going to be held accountable for the words that come out of our mouths. We are going to be held accountable. They, the ones that we're talking about, will be held accountable for their actions and whatever it is that they have done or not done or whatever. They will be held accountable to God for that. But we're also going to be held accountable to God for the words we speak. So be careful. Enough said? Or do I keep speaking? No. I'm going to finish with... Well, let's pray first, and then I'll set that up. Father in heaven, I pray for us as human beings that we have thoughts, we have motives, we have attitudes, we have hearts, we have the ability to express those things. And I pray, God, you would help us to set a guard over our mouths, to keep watch over the door of our lips that your word says we need to do. Over and over again, we hear it. James, Peter, Paul, John, Jesus. Father, help us. We need help in this, definitely. We can't do it by ourselves. We can't do it on our own. Just come before you today, Lord. Even as we talk in our cars on the way home, even as we talk amongst our family members, watch over us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to finish with a video. This is... from 7 years ago, and I had hair back then, and I didn't. That's been a long time. But my dad passed away. My stepfather, my real father was not good, but my dad, my stepfather, he was a good man. But he learned, and his life changed through the years. In the last 3 years of his life, he talked about Jesus. So I talk a little bit about that. It's about 14 minutes long, so we'll be ready for the potluck soon. But then I sang a song at the end of it that he wrote the words for years, and when we first really met, early. And then I put music to them. And some of you, a lot of you have heard this song before. Some have not. But when it finishes, then we'll be done, okay? So you don't need anybody to dismiss you, and then we'll have the potluck after that. So let's go for it, shall we?
How to say...
Whoops. You got to back it up to the beginning. There you go. As most of you know, my dad passed away about 2 months ago, and
So I went back to do a memorial service for him, and I tell you what, it was probably the hardest memorial service I have ever done. I don't know why. It was harder than my mom's, and he's my stepfather, actually. I guess I kind of know why, just because of all he's been to me. But I just want to give some testimony. You know, he was a good man, and he encouraged me, and he encouraged those people around him. And is this on? Okay, can you hear me? I don't hear. Can you turn up just a little bit, Tony? And for over 40 years, he was a good dad to me. And he kind of came into my life a little bit later, but you know how it is when you lose people. You're just going to miss them. You're going to miss their voice. You're going to miss the words and their smile and their presence in your lives. And I have a lot of good memories to hold on to, good conversations that we had, and we'd joke around on the phone and that. He had a great sense of humor. But through the years, when I would go home to visit and Dad and I, we'd have to get away from Mom, because she was just Mom, right? But we'd walk down to they live in a mobile home trailer park, and so we'd walk to the clubhouse, just him and I, and have breakfast or lunch there together. And looking back, it's like, wow, that him and I got to do that special thing together. That's really something. That's powerful. And while we were there in November, Nicola and I, we went and had lunch there, kind of in honor of him. But I think what I'm going to miss most of all was that he said he was proud of me. And he was proud to be my dad. See what I'm saying? This is difficult. And I hope it's okay that I brought this today, but I just felt like I wanted to share this with you. And isn't that what we need? A dad that's proud of us. A father. He was proud that we did what we were supposed to do, even though it sent us 3,000 miles away from home. He was proud of that. And when he came out to our church dedication 8 years ago, he was 80 years old. He came, he traveled by himself to be here in this building, to be here at that dedication. That's support. That's encouragement. And really, it was a lifetime of support. And I asked myself, how do you go on now without that? How do you persevere? Things change, though, in life, don't they? They change, and God gives us the strength to go, to carry on, to keep moving. So he got very ill. Nicola and I, as I said, we went out to see him, and we got there on a Wednesday night. Some of you know this story, and some of you don't. And we got there late and been traveling all day. We went to see him, and we weren't sure if he really knew us. But I tried to talk about things we had in common, pancakes and stuff like that. And I could see that he was connecting. But I told him that Jesus was there with him. And I'm telling you what, he got this big smile on his face. Like, it was incredible. And there was no question about what happened there. I mean, my daughter saw it. I saw it. It's like, I'm just went, wow. So we didn't stay that long that night. I think he didn't want us to leave, but we were very tired. We didn't stay too long. The next day, he was a little bit less with us, except for one point, and then we stayed, and he gradually became further and further away from us. And we said goodbye to him the day before we left. We stayed about a week, and you wonder sometimes, about when people are in that situation, can they really hear you? His eyes are closed. He's been closed for days and days, no response, but as we were getting ready to leave and Nicola was saying goodbye, he changed. It looked like he was crying. And he had trouble. He started having trouble breathing. It was like radical. And he passed away. We left the next morning early. He passed away just after our plane took off. And I just, you know, wonder, did he wait for us to leave? You know, I think he wanted us to be home with our family and to be here with you. I think that's what he wanted. He was proud of that. But he was gone, and he's gone now, and it's very sad. My strongest supporter, gone. I have some regrets, you know, that I didn't call him more often, that I didn't thank him more. And I thought, well, you know, we need to do the things that are important now while we can, because if we do, we won't have regrets for the past. But as I finish this little talk, I say this, that Dad was a believer in Jesus. And in the last few years of his life, he would always talk about praying for us every night. And he would bring up Jesus every time we talked on the phone. And you'd have to know, you know, we got along really, really well, but he wasn't like that, you know, spiritual, you know, all these many, many years. I mean, he was in law enforcement, right? He was a cop, right? He was a customs agent. He was a drug enforcement agent. You know, he was a tough guy. But I wonder about this. Was he getting back to his roots? I think, was he getting back to where he was when he was a child and what perhaps his mother had taught him? And you never know. You never know what, you know, the things you teach and the things you learn when you're young, are they going to stick with you? Are they going to come back? And I think that's what happened. But if you could see that smile on his face when I told him that Jesus was there, incredible. During that time, you know, as he became further and further away from us, I pointed out to Nicola that, you know, in the end, it's between us and God. And in the end, we kind of close our eyes and we shut everyone out and we come, you know, just us. And in that time, that's really what it's all about. You and I, we're going to get to that place at one point or another where it's just between me and God. I'm not going to get there in the pastor's car because the pastor's car don't go that far. Right? That's a kid's song. Sorry. But we're all going to face it. You know, we're all going to face it. And the question is, are we ready for it? I had talked with him and my mom, and, it, you know, again, talking to family, you got to bring it up. You know, are you ready for heaven? Just try, you know, you try to bring it in. You know, my mom's watching Judge Judy, and you know, it's a commercial, Mom. Turn the volume down. I have a question for you. Are you ready for heaven? No, I'm ready for the commercial to be over. I want to see Judge Judy. Well, you're going to stand before a judge one day, but it's not going to be Judge Judy, I guess. I didn't say that. No, I didn't say that. We were talking in the youth worship group the other night, you know, I'm ready for heaven because, fill in the blank. What will you say? I'm ready for heaven because I went to church, because I gave money, because I did this. No, it's because I trusted in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. That's it, period, end. That's why I'm ready for heaven. It's not automatic. It's a choice that we make. It's a gift that we receive. So all that to say, I'm going to sing a song for you. And my dad wrote the words for this song, right? And this was written back in 1977. And it's... When you read the words, when you see, I think it was like almost kind of in a way prophetic. Again, now, through all these years, you know, there wasn't a lot happening until these last 3 years, really, when he would bring up Jesus and talk about Jesus. Pray for us every single night. But he wrote this song. It's called Daddy Teach Me How to Pray. He wrote it in 1977, and you know, I was thinking about this yesterday, that he did teach me. He did teach me. He taught me in the last years, these last 3 years of his life, when he said he prayed for me every night, he taught me that that's what I need to do too. I need to pray. So let me sing that song for you. I've rambled on and on. As I sat there alone in my old rocking chair, yesterday's ran through my mind. The day my son climbed in my lap to say, Daddy, teach me how to pray. I felt a dryness in my throat, for I myself had been away from the Lord. I found my old Bible tattered and frayed. I teach my son how to pray. He said, Daddy, won't you teach me how to pray? How to say that I need you, Lord? Daddy, won't you teach me how to pray? How to say that I love you, Lord? I told him of God and creation, of Jesus, of love and caring, of heaven and earth and his coming back one day. And we knelt, and my son and I did pray. Thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, for this special day to open my eyes and remember to say, yeah. Hold us within your hands. Help us to remember how to pray. He said, Daddy, won't you teach me how to pray? How to say that I need you, Lord? Daddy, won't you teach me how to pray? How to say that I love you, Lord? Many years have passed since that day. My son is grown and gone, teaching the words of the Lord. And how happy I am as my life does fade. Oh, we knelt, my son and I, and we pray. He said, Daddy, won't you teach me how to pray? How to say need you, Lord? Daddy, won't you teach me how to pray? How to say that I love you, Lord?
That's it for today. God bless you. Have a great week. We'll see you next time.